Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, our theme for this year, as we've mentioned a couple of weeks ago in Vision Weekend, is wisdom. And this is something we are going to be weaving in through every area of church life this year, across all ministry departments on all five of our campuses. And the goal is really simple, to help us all grow in the area of wisdom, because I think if we have to be honest, we can all say we perhaps need just a little bit more wisdom in our life. And as I begin this morning, I want to mention a guy to you. His name is Andrew Whittaker. And a number of years ago, he was at then age 55. He lived in West Virginia, and he had a successful construction company. He had a good family. He was doing very well for himself. And he had a comfortable lifestyle, but in December 2002, he won the Powerball lottery. $315 million. That's like gazillion rands. I don't even know how many rands that is. Now, obviously, there's tax implications and the government takes a big chunk, but he had the option to get an instant cash payout of $113 million, which he ended up taking. But within 4 years, he had lost all of it, and he had multiple legal and personal battles that he was facing. The boyfriend of his granddaughter died from an overdose, and he was sued for that because apparently he had some part to play there. Then after that, his own granddaughter died from a drug overdose as well. Andrew Whittaker was robbed of $500,000 in cash that he was carrying around in a bag with him. He had various lawsuits against him for violent and sexually threatening behavior, which he then had to settle financially out of court. And he also got massive gambling debts against him as well. 4 years later, by the start of 2007, he was struggling to make ends meet. And he later said that no amount of money that he gave to his friends and family was ever enough, because they always came back wanting more and more from him. And he literally said that the lottery destroyed his life. Now, here's the thing. The lottery ticket that he bought wasn't bad. The lottery itself wasn't bad. The money that he won wasn't bad. However, Andrew Whittaker lacked the wisdom to properly manage and use the money that had found itself in his hand. And I think it's such a powerful illustration of in life, when we lack wisdom, when we fail to apply wisdom, we will always lose something in the process. Our lives will always be worse off because of a lack of wisdom. But as we gain wisdom, as we grow in godly wisdom, guess what? Everything in your life begins to get better. Your marriage gets better. Your family life gets better. Your business gets better. Everything gets better as we gain and apply godly wisdom. And, you know, as we often say in church, many of the problems we face and some of the issues that you might be dealing with today are very often secondary issues. There's often a root cause behind it. And so perhaps today, if you have got issues with finances and you're struggling to budget and save and you're spending more than you should, it's simply that you perhaps have a lack of wisdom in the area of finances. Your money issues are a secondary issue. If maybe you've got marriage issues today, that's a secondary issue. It may be that the primary issue is a lack of wisdom in how to navigate relationships and conduct your marriage. But fortunately for us, the Bible has a lot to say about wisdom, because God's desire is simple, that you and I would get wisdom that He has available for us, but that we would also apply it to our lives so that we can keep moving forward. And I want to speak to you this morning, part one of our series on accessing and applying God's wisdom to life. Accessing and applying God's wisdom to life. We have to get it from God, but then we also have to put it into practice in our lives. And I want to, as we start out this morning, read you a couple of excerpts from the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is known in the Bible as the wisdom book. Obviously, all of Scripture is wisdom from God. But Proverbs in particular was written by Solomon, who was the king of Israel. He was also the son of David. And Solomon is recorded in Scripture as being the wisest man who ever lived. That's quite a title to put on your CV. when you apply for a job, the wisest man who ever lived. But that accreditation goes to Solomon. And Proverbs 2 verse 2, he writes and he says, tune your ears to wisdom. Concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So very clearly we see there that we have to be intentional about getting godly wisdom. Solomon tells us to tune our ears. He says, cry out for insight, ask for understanding. He uses the word seek and search there. Wisdom is something we have to be intentional about if we're going to receive it. Then Proverbs 4 verse 5, Solomon writes and he says, get wisdom. Look at the person next to you and tell them, get wisdom. Get wisdom, the Bible says. I read that and I realize wisdom is not just something that falls into our laps. You don't just sit under a tree and wait for the wisdom like an apple to land on your head. No, no, you have to get wisdom. You've got to go out and find it. You've got to pursue it at all costs. Get wisdom, develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her and she will guard you. And I love this next verse. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. You know, all of us are in pursuit of something in life. Right now, as you sit here, you've got something on the horizon that you are pursuing. But the Bible encourages us that the wisest thing you can pursue is actually wisdom. Because if you get godly wisdom into your life, it will give you access to everything else that you need for the journey ahead. Proverbs 24:13. My child, eat honey, for it is good, and the honeycomb is sweet to the taste. In the same way, wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, notice again, it's not guaranteed. If you find it, you will have a bright future, and your hopes will not be cut short. Very simply put again, when you get godly wisdom, your life becomes better. Everything about your life begins to improve. You've got a bright future, the Bible says. Your hopes will not be cut short. You can live with great expectation, believing God for the best. However, the opposite would also be true. If you don't get the wisdom that God has made available for your life, you won't have a bright future. And unfortunately, your life will be cut short. Why? Because wisdom is the key to every area of our life flourishing and moving forward. And the reality is that our success and our well-being in life is determined by our ability to access and then apply the wisdom that God has made available for us. Can you say amen to that? So as we begin, let me just give you a few thoughts on wisdom, and so that we can know exactly what it is. And the first thing about wisdom is this: it's simply making the right choices at the right times. You've heard me say that many times before, but that's essentially what wisdom is, being able to make the right choices at the right times. I don't know if you're like me, but I often find myself in a situation where I don't always know what's the right thing to do, whether it comes to work or your kid's schooling or a relationship or finances. Sometimes the answers are not always that clear. You know, some things in life, it's easy to know what to do. You know, when it comes to what to have for breakfast in the morning or which road to drive to school, those are easy decisions, or which outfit to wear for church on a Sunday. I know, ladies, some of you feel like the Holy Spirit has to speak to you before you know which dress and which shoes to put on. But really, those are the easy decisions in life. But there are other decisions that are not always as easy as those. For example, when it comes to finances and knowing, should I spend that money or not? Should I save that money? How do I budget for the year ahead? Those are not always straightforward decisions. You know, when it comes to conflict situations at work and there's people involved, not everything is always black and white. Often there's a whole lot of gray area that we need wisdom for. When it comes as parents to raising your kids and knowing, when do I correct, when do I encourage, when do I discipline, when do I respond, those are decisions that need wisdom. And for those of you who are perhaps in a leadership position at work, you need wisdom to make decisions, because every day people are knocking on your doors, then you have to make decisions. And your decisions don't just impact your life, but they impact the lives of many others. We need the wisdom of God to be able to do that. Because here's what happens. If we don't have godly wisdom, we will be led by our feelings and our emotions. And unfortunately, that's how most people make decisions in life. They feel a certain way, they're overcome with emotion, and then they respond. But you need to know, most times your feelings and your emotions will lead you astray. But when you have godly wisdom, you're able to put feelings and emotions aside. You can see the situation for what it is, and you can make the right decision at the right time. A man by the name of Wayne Dyer, who's an American author, says that our lives are the sum total of the choices we have made. Never forget, wherever you find yourself in life today is because of the choices you make. And I get that sometimes things happen to us that we didn't choose. However, even in those situations, we still have a decision to make as to how we respond. And often the biggest impact is not the things that happen to us, but how we choose to respond to them after that. But we need the wisdom of God to make the right choices in life at the right times so that we can keep moving forward. Can you say amen? Another thing about wisdom is this. It is skillfully applying knowledge to life. Skillfully applying knowledge to life. And Pastor Gordon touched on this at the offering time. And I think sometimes it's easy to confuse knowledge and wisdom. And we can often think that they're the same thing, but they are definitely not the same thing. And, you know, sometimes we can easily assume that because someone has been to university or they've got a degree behind their name or even a doctorate, we assume, well, they must be very, very clever. Well, they might be clever, but just because they have knowledge doesn't mean that they are going to make wise choices in life. Because I've encountered many, many people in my years who've got degrees, who've got doctorates, and yet their lives are still in a mess because they failed to apply wisdom to their lives. It's one thing to have the knowledge, but wisdom is to be able to take that knowledge that you have and then skillfully apply it to every area of your life. You know, these days we live in what is called the age of information, where information is readily available to us. Whatever you need to know about anything in life, you can go on the internet and someone has written or said something about it. You can find pretty much anything you want. And so we have this massive overload of information. Knowledge is available at our fingertips. But as the American writer E.O. Wilson once said, he said, "We are drowning in information while starving for wisdom." And I think that very aptly sums up the world we live in. So much information, so much knowledge available, but yet it seems that people are making poorer and poorer decisions. And perhaps it's because the knowledge is available, we rely on that and we think, well, I read books and I read newspapers and I'm informed with what's happening, but wisdom is more than that. Wisdom is taking that knowledge and then applying it to everyday life. A man by the name of Austin O'Malley, who was an English professor, I think he probably best summed up the difference between knowledge and wisdom. He said that knowledge is flour, but wisdom is bread. Is that quite profound, eh? Knowledge is flour, but wisdom is bread. See, the knowledge is the basic raw ingredients. But if you don't know how to turn that flour into bread, well, you may as well not even have the flour in the first place. It is absolutely useless to you unless you can do something with it. Don't be too obsessed with knowledge. Get knowledge. Go to university if you can. Do all those things. It's the best thing you can do. However, don't just stop there. You have to be able to take that knowledge and skillfully apply it to life. You know, I need to just pick on the smokers for a moment. Sorry, nothing against you, but that just works really well. But I came across this ad from Marlboro, and they've got four of their brands available there. And on that screen there, I mean, how's those teeth? How many of you want to kiss someone with teeth like that? Now, there's knowledge on the screen there. Smoking kills. Smoking damages your gums and teeth. Smoking, a leading cause of death. Smoking causes mouth and throat cancer. That's knowledge. But I don't know if you know, if you have that knowledge, but as you're busy reading that, That knowledge is useless. You see, knowledge is readily available. But until you can apply that knowledge to life, you may as well not even have that knowledge in the first place. Wisdom is skillfully applying knowledge to life. Here's another thing about wisdom. It's the ability to apply common sense. Simple. The ability to apply common sense. Someone once very profoundly said that common sense is a flower that doesn't grow in everyone's garden. Maybe you need to go home this afternoon and just have a look out in the back and see what's growing there. But isn't it true? You know, we say it's common sense, but it's obviously not so common because very few people apply it. And, you know, I'm sure you're like me. We've all done things where we do it and later we look back and think, what was I thinking? How could I be so stupid and still breathe at the same time? And, you know, we lack common sense. The inability to see the situation for what it is. But as we grow in wisdom, our discernment of things begins to increase, and we're able to apply common sense to things that sometimes are just simple things. Proverbs 21 verse 6 says, the person who strays from common sense will end up in the company of the dead. In other words, when you have an inability to apply common sense because of a lack of wisdom, your life will begin to deteriorate. Your life will spiral downwards. You will end up in a place of destruction. And eventually, as the Bible says, if you continue down that road, you will end up in the company of the dead. The fourth thing about wisdom is this, is that it is prioritizing what is most important in life. Wisdom is prioritizing what is most important in life. In May 2012, there was a 32-carat Burmese ruby and diamond ring that was part of the Lily Safra collection. She was one of the wealthiest women in the world. And it was sold at an auction. Before the auction, they estimated that the ring would probably go for about $4 million. But it was eventually sold for $6.7 million, which is the equivalent of about 100 million rand. For a ruby, and it is believed to have been the most expensive ruby ever sold. Now, maybe you're thinking like I thought when I read that story, Lord, I just need one of those rubies. Lord, I'm not being greedy. I don't need five of them or seven. Just one of those rubies will do, Lord. Just one for me. Why? Because it's incredibly valuable. 100 million rand for that ruby. Man, you think if I could get my hands on one of those. But look what the Bible says in Proverbs 8, verse 11. It says that wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. You say, what do you mean, even a 100 million rand ruby? Well, apparently so. God says that wisdom is more valuable than rubies. Not just than one ruby, but all the rubies in the world combined. Wisdom is more valuable. Nothing you desire can compare with it. You see what wisdom does for us? Wisdom gives us the ability to correctly prioritize in life what is most important. Because here's how life works. Whatever you prioritize, you will pursue. And the reason why so many people are pursuing the wrong things in life because they are prioritizing the wrong things. And as a result, many people, rather than pursuing their relationship with God, they pursue money and wealth. Now, there's nothing wrong with money and wealth, but not at the expense of pursuing your relationship with God. Many people, at the expense of their marriage and their children, pursue success in the workplace. Now, there's nothing wrong with success in the workplace, but you can't prioritize that above the things that are more important, your marriage and your family. And what godly wisdom gives you, it gives you the ability to align your thoughts with God's thoughts, to align your plans with His plans, the desires of your heart with His desires, and as a result, you keep moving forward into all the good things that God has for you. Joyce Meyer once said that wisdom is choosing to do now what you will be happy with later on. I think the truth is that most people don't think about the future. Most people don't think about next week and next month and next year and the rest of their lives. We think about only what benefits us now. And as a result, we live for pleasure rather than living for purpose. We live for things that bring a measure of temporary happiness, and we forfeit lasting joy as a result of that. Or we live for things that will make us some quick money now, rather than living for something that is more valuable and permanent, and it ends up costing us in the long run. I think where many people get this wrong is with this next statement, and you can write it down. Some things are neither right nor wrong, just matters of wisdom. Some things in life are not right or wrong, but they are actually wisdom issues. And what happens sometimes is we try to justify the things that we do by saying, well, where does the Bible say that I can't do it? Where does it say that it's wrong to do that? And because we can't find a verse or scripture, we then justify it. But there are some things in life that are neither right nor wrong. They are simply wisdom issues. So I'll give you an example. You know, if I had to say to my wife after the Saturday night service, I said, look, you know what? We're going to go out for a night on the town. We're first going to go watch a movie. Then we're going to go for a nice long dinner. Then we're going to go walk on the beach under the moonlight. And we're just going to hang out for the night. And we'll probably get home at about 2 or 3 in the morning. Now, is that wrong for me to do that? No, it's not wrong. She's my wife. We're spending time together. We're investing in our marriage. However, is it wise? No, it's not wise because I have to be up at 5 in the morning preaching 3 times before midday. So it's not right or wrong, but it's a wisdom issue. For those of you who are parents, is it right or wrong to give your kids a big bag of sweets 15 minutes before bedtime? No, it's not right or wrong. There's no sin involved. However, your kids from that sugar rush will be up all night, and therefore you will be up all night as well. It is not right or wrong. It is a wisdom issue. Ladies, is it right or wrong for you to, you know, travel, drive in your vehicle with your nice new handbag on the seat next to you? It's not right or wrong, but it's unwise. Because unfortunately, in our country, people will smash your window, maybe even kill you to get the contents of that handbag. It's a wisdom issue. For those of you who are dating, is it right or wrong to watch TV together late at night? No, it's not right or wrong, but it's not wise. Because hands tend to wander all over the show. And those clothes that were very secure on your body have the tendency to just pop off in Jesus' name. It's not a right or wrong issue. It's a wisdom issue. And I know the Lord's speaking to some of you right now. Is it right or wrong to support Manchester United? It's not right or wrong, but is it wise? All the Liverpool supporters, you preach it, Pastor. You tell them like it is. I'm just teasing you. I love Manchester United supporters. This may not be wise, but anyway. But you see, some things are not right or wrong. They are merely wisdom issues. I want to read you this fable. You might have heard it before, but it goes like this. A large rock fell on the back of a snake one day. The snake called to a calf who was passing by to remove it, but the calf refused. He said, if I take it off, you're going to bite me. No, the snake replied. I promise I won't bite you. Anyway, the poor calf removed the rock and they went on together. Now I'm going to bite you, said the snake. But you promised not to, the calf said. I know, said the snake. But it's in my nature to bite and I cannot help it. Well, just then they met a fox. And the calf asked the fox if he would settle the dispute. The fox said that he would not unless he could see how the rock was first placed on the snake. Then the fox turned to the calf and said, now that the rock is back on the snake's back, I think it is safest to leave it there. Was it right or wrong to take the rock off the snake's back? No, it was neither. It was simply a matter of wisdom. And I believe if you can apply that to your life, it will really help you make decisions. Because sometimes we, and especially as Christians, we are so fixated on what is right and what is wrong. Some things are gray, they are not black or white. But you then need to ask yourself, is this wise? It may not be wrong, but is it wise? And if it is unwise and I pursue it, well, guess what? It's going to end up getting me into a whole lot of trouble. Can you say amen to that? So I want to give you 2 things this morning on how to gain godly wisdom. And then we'll carry on with a few more of those in part 2 next week. But how to gain godly wisdom. The first thing is this. It is through the reverent fear of God. The reverent fear of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 9 verse 10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Would you take note of that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You say, well, what do you mean by the fear of the Lord? Well, let me first explain to you what the Bible doesn't mean by the fear of the Lord. It doesn't mean that every time you come to church or every time you want to come into the presence of the Lord that you kind of like this, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for disturbing you today. I'm just a nobody, you know. I'm just a worm, and if you just forgive me for interrupting. No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that we cower before God as if we're just nothing. No, it's not what it means. It also doesn't mean that we try avoid God. You know, we try to stay away from him because he's out to get us. So every time you go from your front door to your car, you make sure there's no lightning bolts. You quickly pray that the Lord is looking the other way. Then you get into your car and, whew, I escaped this time. That's not what the fear of God is. The fear of the Lord is rather an awe-filled reverence of God. It is holding God in the highest esteem. It is putting him on the throne of every single area of your life. It is elevating him to the highest position, acknowledging that you are nothing without him, that he is your creator, that everything you have of is because of him. And as a result of that, you essentially live in almost a kind of fear of being without God and navigating life without him. And the response from that is that you are naturally drawn closer to him. See, there's a big difference between fearing people and fearing God. You think about a time maybe when you feared someone, whether maybe it was someone at school or someone who threatened you or whatever, you do your best to stay out of their way. If you're in the shops and you see them at the bottom end of the aisle, you don't walk forward and high praise the Lord. No, you duck around the back end there thinking, I hope they didn't see me. You might even be scared of people or fearful or afraid. And when you live that way, you will never live at your best. You will always live restricted. You will always live contained. But living in the fear of God is not like that. In fact, it's the exact opposite of that. When you live in the reverent fear of God, you draw closer to God. Because of the awe that you hold him in, you draw automatically closer to him. In fact, you become desperate to be with him. Your worst thing that you can think of is being away from God. Your desire becomes to please him, not to disappoint him, to love him at every opportunity. And because of that, the result is that you end up living at your best. Because as the Bible says, it's the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. You know, if you've ever played Monopoly, for you to play Monopoly, you have to start on the beginning block, the start block. You can't just decide, I'm going to start halfway through. And sometimes people want to start life further down the road than where they actually should start. You have to start at the beginning if you're going to play the game of life. And the beginning, the starting place for getting godly wisdom is through a reverent fear of God. When you recognize who you are and you understand who God is and you put him on the rightful throne of your life, that is the beginning, the Bible says, of getting the wisdom that God has made available to you. In Job 28, verse 28, he says that God said to us humans, to be wise, you must have reverence for the Lord, and to understand, you must turn from evil. The number one reason why people lack wisdom is very simply they have no reverence for God. People have decided to take God out of the equation. There are some who will deny the existence of God. There are others who say, well, I'm sure he exists, but I'm just not going to obey him. There will be others who will say, you know what, I just believe I know better. And even others who will say, you know what, I've already decided what I'm going to do. Not even God can try to change my mind. And when we display any of those characteristics, it is showing irreverence for God. But when we live in the reverent fear, that is load shedding. Just give us a moment. The generator should kick in. Eskom is at work. Again, stage 3 load shedding we're in. I can hear the generator kicking in. Can you all still hear me? Okay, I'm just going to continue where I was there. I forgot where I was. People lack wisdom because they have no reverence for God. When you put God in His rightful place, when you come into His presence with a humble spirit, when you come acknowledging that everything you have is from the hand of God, when you understand, Lord, I'm nothing without You. You've given me life. You've given me breath. You've given me salvation. When you come before God with a spirit like that, that is the fear of God. And then you can expect that God just begins to download wisdom upon wisdom upon wisdom. Your marriage gets better. Your health gets better. Your finances, everything gets better. When we have a reverent fear for God, can you say amen? The second way to gain godly wisdom according to the Bible is simply to ask God for it. Gee, that sounds simple, eh? Ask God for it. James 1 verse 5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. We are encouraged from the Bible to ask God for wisdom because He's a generous God who wants to give us wisdom. But see, here's the problem why most people don't even ask in the first place. Because if you firstly don't have a reverent fear for God, why would you ask God for wisdom? Because you will essentially believe that you know better anyway. And again, you've already made your mind up. That's why the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Once you have that foundation, you can boldly come before God and ask Him for the wisdom that you need. You know, one of the prayers that I pray more than any other prayers is, Lord, give me wisdom. Because I know every single day of my life I need wisdom. I need wisdom in dealing with my wife and knowing how to please her and knowing how to speak well of her. And, you know, sometimes as a husband, the wisest thing you can say is just, yes, dear. You are right because you are always right. Those words can save your marriage and change your life. Come on. So I need the ladies clapping now, and I see that. But it's wisdom. You know, when it comes to raising kids, we've got four kids. Man, I need wisdom. Because sometimes they'll ask you for something, and your heart wants to give it to them, but part of you is thinking, I'm not sure this is wise. Need wisdom for that. You know, when it comes to making decisions at work, every day in the office, I have to make multiple decisions. And when Tanya, my PA, comes in, or Pastor Gordon comes in and they ask me something, I can't say, well, you know, I'm going to pray about that. I'm going to take the rest of the day off to fast and get on my knees and seek the Lord. I don't have the luxury of that because 10 minutes later, there's another decision that needs to be made. And half an hour later, there's another decision. So that's why at the start of the day, I have to pray, Lord, I need wisdom for this day. Because there are certain decisions as a leader that you have to make in the moment. There, another one. You've got to keep making them. That's what leadership is all about. But if you don't have the wisdom and the discernment, you're going to get all the decisions wrong. You know, I think even when it comes to managing finances, all of us need wisdom there. Wisdom. Do I spend this or do I save it? Do I wait back or do I take that deal now? It requires wisdom. You know, when it comes to counseling people, one of the things that I always pray before meeting with people is, Lord, give me wisdom here. Because I've realized in a counseling session, often what you hear is only one side of the story. And sometimes a very tainted one side of the story. Lord, give me wisdom to discern here. When I pray for people, Lord, give me wisdom so that I can pray the right encouragement over their lives. When it comes to preparing ministry for the weekend, I'm not here just to entertain you for 35 or 40 minutes. Or to just give you my opinions on what I think. No, I need the wisdom to discern the voice of God. Lord, what is it You want to speak to Your church this weekend? Because otherwise, I'm just rambling on about nonsense. I can't change your life. I'm not clever enough to impress you or to change you. But when God speaks, when I hear the voice of God, it is the Word of God speaking through me that brings change to people's lives. But it requires wisdom and discernment of the things of God. A man by the name of Vance Havner once said this, incredibly profound. He said, if you lack knowledge, go to school. If you lack wisdom, get on your knees. You know, I know that most of you in here today are facing a decision that you need to make in the next week. You say, how do you know that? Well, that's just the way life works. Every week there are new decisions. And for many of you, you are not sure what that answer or what decision to take. Can I just encourage you from the Word? If you don't know what to do and you've got a decision to make, Get on your knees before the Lord. Lord, I love you. My heart is to please you. My desire is to serve you. Lord, I revere you. I put you in the highest position in my life. Lord, your word says I can ask for wisdom. And Lord, I humble myself before you today. This is the situation. You know all the details. You see what I don't see. Give me the godly wisdom to make the right decision. By faith, believe that you've received it from God. And then you can get up and confidently make the decision that you believe is the right decision. The Bible says God will give you his backing if you've revered him, if you've put him in his rightful place, and by faith you've asked him for the wisdom that you need.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.